Elephant in the room is there's not an elephant in the room. We're missing a few people today. Out of sickness or whatever else is going on, our friend, don't start recording for a while. Did you already start? That's okay, good. Our friend Joel is becoming installed as facilitator in Akron. Facilitator. Yeah, not pastor yet. That's only because I talked to Jeff Broadnecks last night. And I was talking to him about something else. One of the things I was talking to him about was, they're dividing up the churches now to be under different leaders. So there's Michelle Fleming, Jeff Broadnecks, Mike Rasmussen, and Pam Morgan, and then there's four of them. And Jeff called last night to say that we are still under his leadership. So I told him that was a good thing because we appreciate that. So we're still with him. And then so I was talking to him about our new place, and they've been praying, and the home office has been praying, and everybody's been praying for us in the new space that we're going to get. I really, as I encourage you, I encourage myself. You know that, right? So the one thing that he said was, he says, remind your congregation this. He's Akron. He's doing the installation of Joel as facilitator. He says, the one thing I remind you to remind your congregation is this, to stay on your knees and keep asking God, where is it? Where are you taking us, and help us to follow your lead? I said, we've been doing that, but it's like he's reminding us, and I'm reminding us, and I'm reminding myself not to be discouraged, because God is leading us where he's leading us. I should remember and go back to those moments of silence before something big happens. There are moments of pause. And right now I feel like we're on a pause, but we cannot give in to and think this is it. This is not it. We're pausing, we're collecting ourselves, right? And we're getting ready for the next thing. And we don't know where that's going to be. I was telling him how we've got our names in with the church very close to here, but they don't meet until January 21st. And I said, I kind of, when I said, Lord, would love to see a miracle, just some kind of miracle. When you ask for a miracle, it doesn't come really pretty and wrapped. It comes through faith. So his reminder was, that the only way it's going to happen is it's going to happen because God's going to make it happen. And I was like, yeah, I needed to be reminded of that. So I remind you of that too. God is still on the throne, still in control. I was listening to songs this morning that talked about, you're still moving, Lord. You're always moving. You haven't stopped moving. So as you continue to move, we'll just follow. We'll just follow the pillar, your word. We continue to follow. Amen. So this week, I hope everyone had a Merry, Merry Christmas. We did. The kids were here, and it's so much fun to have those little ones running around being crazy. And the little one, Lenny, brought him a little car, one of those electronic cars that he can sit in. He's almost already too big for it. And he presses a button, and then he presses the accelerator, and it moves. So he was in the basement, and he just looks at you when he's moving. He's 4 years old, but he looks at you when he's moving forward. He just looks at you like, watch me go forward. And he'll yank on it, then yank on it. But when he goes backwards and he slams on it, he's going backwards. He's just looking at you like, is it going to stop? is it going to stop? And then he bumps into a pole or something. So he had a really good time. So we're going to be taking that down to him because it could not fit in their car. So we have to take it down to them on Tuesday so that he'll have his car to ride in, look, for a few more months, because if he gets any taller, he's not going to be able to fit in it. And he's got to get taller. He's only four. So very soon he'll be past five and passing that on to someone else and blessing someone else with it is what I suggested. But she gave them a something that they say all the time. She says, I've had to teach them to say, we are grateful for all we, and she did like this, what she claps, what are we grateful for? We are grateful for all we, and they'll go, have. And then, so the reminder is always, be grateful for what you get. Be grateful for what you receive. And at no time did they say, this wasn't enough gifts. This is crazy. I hate this gift. Or what else is there? Or they went looking for anything else. They had an attitude of gratitude. And I thought that was really, really nice and something that we all can probably learn from. But this week, we're coming on New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And yeah, people talk about, why is a new year in the dead of winter? I don't know, it just is. And you're going to be putting that new date on your checks, and you're going to be following those new appointments that you'll have in your phone, and it will say 2025. Yeah, well, okay. That means we're going to get 1 year older too, and praise God, we get to get 1 year older. So there's going to be parties. There's going to be singing of Auld Lang Syne. There's going to be champagne, and there's all kinds of, there's all kinds of superstitions and things that go with that day. I found 25 of them. I decided not to list them all. One is, have you heard of the one of eating 12 grapes? Have you heard of the one of wearing polka dots? Of wearing white? Have you heard about, I know you've heard of this one. You invite a guest to your, come through your door. And in African American culture, it's a man that has to come through your door first and walk through every room in your, right? Walk through every room in your house. Have you heard of eating black-eyed peas on that day? Okay, this is all superstition. It's supposed to bring luck and money, okay? Or eating pork on that day too, or chicken. I saw chicken. No chicken, don't eat chicken. What else you hear, Jackie? Black eyed peas. Yep, there's fish. You can have fish. Greens were for money. Sauerkraut and pork was another. So it's just like Thanksgiving has whatever, whatever. But these were actually supposed to be lucky things. And if you don't have, as a matter of fact, you're not supposed to do laundry on that day. Because whatever you find yourself doing at that time is what you'll be doing the rest of the year. You're also supposed to have money in your wallet. Because if you don't, you will never have money. I bet y'all are going to go to the bank right now. You'll never have money in your wallet the rest of the year. Our money won't be attracted to you. Credit cards don't count. You must have green. So it's like all of these different things that go on. And if you followed any of them or all of them, you were keeping track of something. One thing that I remember when I was growing up was, of course, I couldn't go out on New Year's Eve. I was young, but what I could do with my brothers, my sister was older and gone, with my brothers was watch the Twilight Zone marathon. There was a Twilight Zone marathon, and hey, we were all into that Twilight Zone marathon. So when you watched it, there was one episode from it's episode 25, if you ever want to go back and watch it. It's a real good episode. And maybe you've heard about it, or maybe I've talked about it before. It's called The Mask. Yeah. Okay, so here's what happened. There's this millionaire named Jason Foster, and he invites his family, and he's actually, it's not New Year's Eve, but it's actually Mardi Gras. He invites them for the whatever night it is that they wear masks. I think there's one night, right? Mardi Gras? That's more. Wait. Shh. Quit getting ahead. So Jason Foster is a millionaire. He invites his family over. His son, or is it his daughter, the daughter's husband, his granddaughter, grandson. And they come. They're waiting for this man to die because they know that they are scheduled to inherit his millions. So he has them come over to the house and he says, okay, I have these special masks for you. And he says, you have to put on these masks until 12 midnight. And they said, okay, if he's asking us to do it, we'll do it. After a while, a couple hours, they get tired of wearing the mask. And he says, no, if you take the mask off, you're going to lose the inheritance. And I'll just give you bus fare home. Actually, that's what he said. That's all you're going to get. So they said, okay, we'll keep it. And his family, he knows exactly who they are. They come and act like, oh, granddaddy, I know that you're sick, or whatever the wife calls him, or dad, you know, we know that you're sick. How are you feeling today? He knows them for exactly who they are. So 12 o'clock comes, a little before 12, and then he begins to tell them about themselves and say, I know that you are never been concerned for anyone but yourself. He goes on to read them. You don't care anything about me. It's not that you love me. You are here for the money. He says that in the money you shall have, you did exactly what I asked you to do. And then he dies at 12 o'clock. Then they're able to take off the mask, but the son goes over to make sure he's dead. And he goes, oh, he's dead. And he takes off, and the mask are quite grotesque. He takes off the mask, and his family goes, oh, and you look at him, and his face has molded to the mask. And then all the rest of them take off their mask, and they have become the grotesque mask or monsters that they have always been. And now it doesn't just show on the inside, it shows on the outside too. So now they're millionaires, but they can't go anywhere, because they are grotesque. What a great analogy, right? Of inside and out. The scripture today tells us some things that we put on, we do because it's going to transform us into the image and the glory of God. That when we do these things, he will be glorified. He will be glorified. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are transforming us from the inside out. We thank you, Lord, that as you shine through us, we shine through a world that's in need of it so much. So, Father, just today, speak to us. Let us see how to dress up in the new year and dress up in you. We pray it all. May it be clear to us, Lord, and may we be able to take on these attributes as you give them to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, we're not told to put on a mask, because a mask, right, is temporary, right? Well, what we're told to put on is temporary, but we're told to put on qualities and a virtue. And when you put on something, you actually have to pick it up and put it on. And it says, Christ says that these qualities will serve us from the time that we put them on, from the time that we put them on. So we're going to look at the passage, and I look at this passage, a passage as it is dressing us up for the new year. It's, I was so glad to see it. I was so happy to see this passage as what was in the RCL, the Revised Common Lectionary. But it is so, so helpful. You're going to see what I mean in a minute. Here we go. Let's read it. It is Colossians 3, verses 12 through, I think, 17. This is the NIV. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with, say it with me, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I love that. The things we're going to put on. Here's the problem. We think we're going to put on these things and that's going to be it. And we're going to put them on perfectly. But sometimes our actions do not translate from our beliefs. Right? I believe in all those things, don't you? And there's a difference between how we want to behave and how we behave. Who we want to be and what we show people. We may respond to kindness. We may want to respond with kindness when a driver cuts us off. But we don't. We may want to respond with kindness when we're treated rudely by someone, dismissed by someone, but frustration bubbles over. Annoyance. I'm annoyed. I'm getting mad. I'm feeling some kind of contempt or some type of other emotion. And I begin to show it. But it's not what I want to do. You know that one where Paul says, what I want to do, I can't do. I know that came to all of your minds. If we wait for kindness to be our automatic response, if we wait for that to annoyance and frustration, we're probably going to be waiting a very long time. Kindness is not always going to be our immediate reaction. That's because we're being transformed into the image of Christ. And we participate in the renewing of our minds. We're participating in this whole thing. And that's the problem. It's not like he's automatically going to give it to us. We participate in it. We actively cultivate love for our neighbors and righteous relationships. We're part of that process. That's what we're going to be doing in 2025. This is why Paul strongly urges his audience to get dressed up, to put on Christ-like garments. Getting dressed means we're behaving as an image bearer. Remember when you used to play dress up? You dress up as a police officer or a fireman, or I'm going to be a doctor or a nurse. Even though we don't feel it, we strive to treat our neighbors as Christ would treat them, even when we secretly have a fleshly response. We put on that smile and goes, okay, fine, okay. Not what I'm really feeling on the inside, but it's what I'm going to show you on the outside. I'm going to be kind to you. Even though, well, here's the thing. This is not simply putting on a fake front when we do it with the Christ image. It's not about putting on a fake front. Rather, it's in following the leading of the Holy Spirit to temporarily put aside our self-focused feelings in order to be like Christ to our neighbor. That's what we're doing. I'm going to put that aside because the inside is not matching the outside yet. Yet. We're not talking about times when you're being insulted or abused or neglected. There might be times to do it then too, but that's not all the time. You can walk away from that or you can speak up for yourself or get help as needed. Instead, we're talking about times when you don't yield to the Holy Spirit. Instead, we choose to be selfish, we choose to be prideful, and we choose to be greedy. Getting dressed up means we take our true feelings to God. God, you know, I want to be kind on the inside, but you know what I'm feeling on the inside. God was reminding me of this today. And we take it to him at the earliest possible moment. Don't wait to do it. Go, ooh, sorry. Right then. To God, we confess the true feelings of our heart while thanking him that despite our own issues, he's conforming us into Jesus. Despite what I may be thinking, Lord, you're changing me. And I know I don't have it down to a science yet. I don't have it exactly right. But God, you're still working with me. That's what people mean when they say that, right? We pray for God to cause our inside to match our outside. Because you all look lovely to me. You're welcome. Very good looking group of people. And this way, we put on Christ because we put on God's grace. It's not an easy process. Getting dressed up can feel like a type of death. The garment can feel heavy. We can feel like we're denying part of ourselves. Like, that's not really me. I'm not going to fake. I'm going to be for real. And you're going to know how I feel. Because I'm not fake. I am true. But it's like, your truth is ugly, sis. We don't want to see that. Where's the Christ in you, brother? We may or may not be recognized for those efforts by our neighbors. So don't think, oh, they're going to pat you on the back because you're so kind. Thank you. They're going to walk away and say, another do-gooder. I suckered her, him. But God's watching. It's not an easy process. It's not an easy process. It's no wonder that Paul instructs his listeners to teach and admonish each other with songs. So that means when Bev reminds me, no, it's fine. Come on. You're feeling down. She's encouraging me, as you did this morning. I think God allowed that to happen so that I could be able to speak to this and really know what I'm talking about, right? To feel it right now. No, it's fine. It means we are to be proactive in the celebration, proactive in our approach, knowing that I'm going to be kind no matter what. I'm going to show compassion no matter what, because I'm going to let Jesus continue to transform me. We are to make much of Jesus. We are to joyfully declare who he is and what he has done. Don't you feel better when you do that? Because the reminder is God is still working. He never stops working. Never stops working. Never stops working. We celebrate the fact that because we can participate in his suffering and also in his glory. We are participating in both. From the passage, we highlight three things. One is we're to grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. Grow in grace and knowledge. We're instructed, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Getting dressed up in the garment of Christ involves getting to know Jesus. I guess when you pretend to be a doctor, it's nice to know they carry a stethoscope. They wear a white jacket. They help people. They're to have a kindly bedside manner. You know, when people dress up, you try to be all those things that person is. Otherwise, if we don't try to imitate, what we're going to end up doing is following a God of our own and making instead of imitating Christ. We're going to try to follow what we think it should be. There's some things that we can do. One of them is study the Bible. So in 2025, can we commit to looking more at the Word? I'm going to look more at the Word. Reading books about Christ. Maybe I can find a book for us all to read. No, you said no. I heard you. Maybe I could find a book to read myself or something that speaks to you, but it's about Jesus. Maybe you can do some devotionals. I know that there are people who do that every day. They're like, the devotional for today said this. Maybe you can explore websites like our friends Bob and Pat do with the Bible Project. Maybe we can make sure to attend Sunday gatherings. We're laughing. I'm laughing now too, so thank you. Maybe we can make sure that we are able to show up. Participate on Wednesdays, thank you, with Bible study, not this Wednesday though, but participate on Wednesdays with prayer time and Bible study. To put yourself around people who love to talk about it, to watch shows like The Chosen and get a better idea of who Jesus was at that time. In addition to building our knowledge of Christ, recognizing Jesus as our mediator is needed as we get dressed up in the garment of Christ, recognizing what he does for us as our mediator with God the Father. It advises us, whatever we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To do something in another's name is to do it with their, is to do it in their place, as they would do it. We try not to merely follow our emotions. Instead, we look to Christ first. We laugh at the statement, what would Jesus do? But it's basically, what would Jesus do? Look to Jesus first, Tamar. And what would he say? And then we follow his lead. We look to him to teach us how to be a neighbor, a mother, a brother, a friend. But it's so much more than that. Christ loves our neighbors perfectly, doesn't he? Just perfectly. And we are in Christ. And as mediator of our relationships, Jesus is standing between us and every other person. So here's my neighbor, here's me, here's Jesus, right in between us. But for some reason, I'm either looking around him and I'm seeing things that sometimes make it hard for me to love them. But I need to see Jesus first. Lastly, getting dressed up Christ-like calls for us to give thanks to the Father through Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit's empowering, my retainers are in the way, to put on Christ and to love our neighbor. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come easily. And there are some things that will hinder us. I told you about looking around Jesus to look at the neighbor and not looking through Jesus and seeing, there they are. There they are. There's that one you love, Lord. We point out their attitude. We point out their behavior. And we use that as a reason not to clothe ourselves in Christ. We point out our own pain, something we've gone through, that we just can't deal with that right now, or them. We point out to our history. And it's a word we got to use. We point out to our politics. That's going to be with us forever, right? And anything else that would justify why we won't sacrifice for someone else. I don't like that. And we all suffer from it. We all do. This is why gratitude is so important. An attitude of gratitude. Our indebtedness to Christ should cause us to respond gratefully to the grace we have received. He died for my sins. You can't get bigger than that. But he died for their sins too. We can't get bigger than that. The love debt we owe our neighbor should motivate us to get dressed up. Therefore, we'd be wise. Anybody ready to be wise in 2025? To engage in practices that cultivate gratitude. What kind of practice would cultivate gratitude? In particular, maybe confession to God helps us to see our own shortcomings. So make it a habit to talk to God and confess our sins. We know he sees our ugly, but thank God he sees Jesus in us too. Remember, we talked about that last week and all that he sees. He sees Jesus in us first. And the same goes for everybody else he's looking at. And we can't do it because we're not Jesus. But we also just don't want to do it sometimes. I just want to be mad. What a waste of energy. What a waste of God-given energy. This Christmas season, and we're still in it, because it was 7 days from Christmas that the guys showed up, the Magi, showed up with all those things. Frankincense, myrrh, what was the other? Gold. I look to see how much those things were worth right now when you're looking for things to invest in. Pretty good. Pretty good stuff. Let's be reminded that Jesus came in the form of a baby to rescue and redeem all humanity. He came to reveal God and to show us what love looks like. Boy, is it sacrificial. He came to show us what it means to be truly human. Somebody I was talking to talked about they're going to live an unhurried life. They said, because if you look at Jesus, he didn't hurry about. He wasn't running. I got to get here. I got to get there. I got to get this taken care of. If I don't get this taken care of, I got to get this done. When I get this done, I'm going on to the next thing. That's kind of my problem, right? I got to get this done. I got to get this done. He lived an unhurried life. He sat in the moment of Jesus, of the Father. And then he'd look up and say, what am I to do right now, right here with what we've got? What are you expecting from me right now? And just sit there. I don't have to speed to get where I'm going because there's something I need to be learning besides the start earlier. There's something I need to be involved with or someone. Or I missed that opportunity because God had something else in store. Those moments of finding out, if I had got there any earlier, I would have missed this. If I had got there any later, I would have missed this opportunity with this person. If I didn't show up, I would have missed this. He came. We have an opportunity to participate in the work that he started. We can put on Christ and bring the sweet aroma of his presence all around us. I'm feeling better already. By the Spirit, we have everything we need to love our neighbor. So let's get dressed up for the new year and all those things that put us in Christ's image. Amen. And I wanted to read one more time from the Message, of course, so that you walk away thinking about what it means to be dressed up. So, because the Message always starts with so instead of therefore. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even tempered. Content with second place. Come on. Is he talking to me? Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Love that. Continue. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the Message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in our lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Amen. So, what you gonna have on when you leave here today? What are you gonna put on? Humility, compassion, kindness, forgiveness, sacrifice. Whatever we do, bind it all together with love. And give yourself a minute for your inner feelings to catch up what Christ is trying to do in you, right? Because it's got to catch up. When you keep doing something, it becomes part of you. becomes just who you are. So don't get worried that you're not there yet. We're being transformed day by day. And that brings us to the transforming communion that we get to take.